Some of the songs will go along with what I've got on my mind, and some of what Brother Philip said will blend in with it too. With the help of the Lord, we want to continue on with what we started with this morning on the mind of Christ. I'm going to go on down for a while. Like I said, this is a big subject. You can preach with inspiration for several hours on this. There's a lot of scriptures on it, and I've enjoyed studying it and working with it about a year now. So let's start over here in 1 Chronicles 28 and 5. 1 Chronicles 28 and 5. Excuse me. I get a little water, that'll help me. 1 Chronicles 28 and 5, and we need the blessings of the Lord this afternoon. And all of my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons. He had chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord thy God, Lord your God, that he may possess this good land, leave it for an inheritance for your children and after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he'll be found of thee. But if thou forsake thee, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. All right, I want to move to 2 Chronicles 8 and 12 in a connecting scripture here. 2 Chronicles 8 and 12. Just the time of what I read here. Then Solomon offered burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar. No. It's 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. 2 Corinthians, right, not Chronicles, it was Corinthians. I knew that didn't look right. 2 Corinthians 8 and 12. Carl, if you get in the right book, it will read right. It always has. I was in 1 Corinthians. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was it, Lord, rebuke the devil. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance. Thank you. A performance also out of that which you have. Now, as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance. All right, over here in 1 Chronicles, it says that in the ninth verse, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he'll be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. So he's saying here that he wants us to serve him with a willing mind. If you and I are going to please the Lord, if we're going to be able to make the Lord happy in every way, we're going to have a willing mind. When we're willing, when we're seeking to know the mind of God, is it important to have a willing mind? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His mind may be totally opposite to ours, and we must be willing to do his way. His mind is crucify the flesh. His mind is to change our dress standard, for us to change our dress standard. In other words, we're not moving up, move up. Openly love that person to wait. Why they to wait to where they want to go. To go somewhere else. Paul in Acts 16:6, Acts 13:1 through 3. Do more than one gift. To buy something different, a car. To marry a certain person or not to marry someone. To give a different amount than you thought are different gifts of food or whatever. Write or say something different than what you planned. Gill on a willing mind is cordially and sincerely cheerful and freely, neither in a hypocritical manner nor through force or constraint and constraint, not with loathing and weariness. The greatest minds in the world are those seeking the mind of God. Why? Because his mind is so great, and we can know his mind, which is the only way to go. Why should we be mindful of his covenant? Because this is his mind written to man. This is what God sent to us for us to find and have eternal life. He talks to us through his word. He leads us with his word. He encourages us with his covenant. He stirs us up. He calls us. He deals with us with it. Now, if you're going to have a business, and I've been there and done that, the only way you're going to have a prosperous business is to have people willing to work. If they just want to come in and sit down all day, you might as well just send them home because they're not going to get you anywhere. But if you get a group of people, men, that is willing to get in there and do what needs to be done. Now, I'm talking about do it where the rubber meets the road. I'm talking about the hard work, not always the easy work. Do those things that need to be done. And some of it is not easy. Some of it is time consuming. It's dirty. It's filthy and so forth. Be willing to do whatever needs to be done. That's exactly what Christ needs. The kingdom of God will move on if he has willing people to do it. His mind is to work. His mind is for souls. This morning, Darlene got up here with the lighthouse. Listen, folks, today, I love that song because that song, it shows the light going out. Listen, folks, there's been many a ship saved by lighthouse. Many a person had been saved because they saw the light. They was able to go around the places that need to be. They were able to do, they may not need them today like they did years ago, but the bottom line, we've still got a lighthouse and he's standing there and he's beaming light and he's wanting to help you and I, but he's got to have a willing mind like he had. Listen, when Jesus come here, he had a willing mind to work. He didn't just come down here and sit down and do nothing. He got up and he worked. He was a connection with the Father, so connected that he knew everything that God and him needed to do and wanted to do, and he had a willing mind to work, and he done it over and over and over. It wasn't easy sometimes. He got laughed at. He got mocked. They done all kind of things, but the bottom line was he had a willing mind. He wants you and I to have a mind like his. The mind of Christ. A willing mind, willing to get out there. I've gone to meetings, small meetings, not so much the big ones. And I may be what little bit I am, but I've gone in, I've scrubbed bathrooms. I've gone in and done things on the grounds to help. A willing mind, sin. I'm not bragging what I'm saying. I'm just telling you. And that's the way we need to do. If something needs to be done right here in the congregation, the pastor needs a willing-minded congregation. The Lord needs a willing mind. If he doesn't have a willing mind to be able to take us and move us and do with us like he wants us to do, it's not always easy to move 1,300 miles away or 1,100 miles. It's not always easy to go down the street. I was in South Carolina and had a couple on my mind. And I'd gone somewhere, I don't know where I was at, but I was coming back home and I felt definitely impressed to go by and see them. That was before cell phones. The best I remember, I don't think I had a cell phone. No, because I didn't call them. I just showed up at the house. And I was by myself. But I felt like I was needed. I didn't know why exactly, but I just felt a burden to go by. It'd be nice to go home. But I had steak and taters waiting for me when I got there. had a loving wife, two loving daughters. But the Lord said, I want you to go by and see Brother Sire and Sister Jereen. And I went by there and I got there. And he was sick and he needed prayer. And I had no idea. There was another person, this minister, if I mention names, you might know this one. She'd been dead a long time. But anyway, she was coming home one night. And the Lord helped or dealt with her to go by the hospital. And she's going, Lord, I don't know anybody that's sick in the hospital. I want you to go by the hospital. I don't know anybody. She went home. She got a call after she got inside, said, I believe it was one of her relatives was in the hospital and died before she got there. And she regretted that. Her mind took her home. The Lord's mind was to go there. The Lord can use us so easily with a willing mind to do what he wants us to do, to go where he wants us to go. It's not easy. Have you ever read the track about the cursing woman? How that they went by an older brother and a younger brother, and they went by and they put this track down, or giving these tracks out, and the woman didn't like it, and she's all upset, and she cussed at them, and they went their way, and they went around, they passed out tracks, the next day they come, and they stopped at the door again, and the young one looked up, the older one said, you gonna stop there? Sure I am. He done it again, and got the same treatment again. And I believe the third time, he just left the track. But the woman got saved. The woman got saved. Now listen, folks, you get cussed out, you get kicked out, you get stomped on, so to speak, and our natural mind will say, I'm going to the house. I ain't going to go back there. The Lord said, a willing mind. The Lord knows who he's dealing with, folks. He knows who he wants to get. And he's after those people. And he uses people like you and I to get out there and reach out and help them and to bless them and to do things for them. And if we'll just be as a just little servant to, yes, Lord, where do you want me to go? Brother Salmon said, and I don't really do this like he did, but he said he'd get up in the morning and he'd say, Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do today? What would be a good thing to do? He said, I've been surprised what the Lord would do for him. What he would send him to do, or somebody would call him to come, or this would happen or that happened. He said, I'd be here, I'd be there, I'd be doing that. Well, it's not always easy, folks. But that's the willing mind. Go where he wants you to go. Do what he wants you to do. Sometimes you don't always understand it. I was on a rework one time for the Gillenbeck installation. And I don't even remember, I don't know where I was even at. But I looked at the work, the paperwork, and what I was supposed to do, and I had a bad, bad headache. And I couldn't make it make no sense at all. I called Brother Dan, I believe it was, it might have been Brother Philip, but I called one of them. And I said, I'm hurting so bad in my head. I said, I can't, this thing don't make no sense to me. He said, you go get your motel and spend the night. I did that. I got up the next morning. My head quit hurting. I'd had a good night's sleep. I went back to the job and everything fell right into place. Worked good, Robert, then. But it wouldn't work the next night. Oh, there's times that you don't feel good. I've heard it. And I've not done this, I don't think. But the old heads ahead of me that has taught me and mentored me, they've told me, said, I've had people call me to come pray for them and said, folks, I was sicker than they were, but I got in and went, a willing mind. The Lord wants us to have a willing mind to go, to see, to say, to track, to put your arm around him. There was a little boy one time. And his neighbor next door had lost his wife. And the little boy is only about 5 or 6 years old. And he said, Mama, can I go over there and be with my neighbor? He was sitting on the front porch. And she was out working in the yard. Yeah, son, going over there. He went over there. And he climbed up in the neighbor's lap. Now, this man had just lost his wife within 2 or 3 months, whatever it was. And he climbed up in his lap and he stayed there a while. And come back, and Mama goes, well, son, what'd you do? He said, I cried with him. Listen, do you know what that would be like? Your wife is gone and you have a little boy come. You talking about a blessing? He didn't say anything much. He just cried with him. Listen, folks, there's things even a child can do. Be led like a child. Be blessed with a child. They can do things that can make an older person look shameful. A willing mind. I didn't know I was going to get into all this. May not get much more down the sheet, but Lord, help us today. The Lord needs us. He had a willing mind, and he wants us to have a willing mind too. All right, let's go to 1 Chronicles 16 and 11. 1 Chronicles 16 and 11. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders, the judgments of his mouth. O, you seed of Israel, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When ye were but few, even a few and strangers in it. All right, let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78 here, and about the first verse, 78 and 1 of Psalms. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which when we heard and known and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, shewing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, and he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. All right. Back here in Chronicles. On down in here. It's talking about the covenant, even, but be mindful always of 16:15 of 1 Chronicles. Said, be mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, even of the covenant which he had made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and had confirmed the same to Jacob. God give everything that was needed to Israel at that time. But then when Christ come along and fulfilled the prophecies about him when he was born, and as he grew up, and then he had his ministry, and he had the trial, and they had the scourging, and the thorn on his head, and the robe, and everything, and they killed him. Then Matthew and Mark, and Luke and John and Paul, and then men begin to write. Peter, they begin to write the New Testament. They begin to tell what Christ said and what he did and what he didn't do. That right there helps us to know the mind of Christ. We can read this word. We can read this covenant. This is something that is set in place by God. It's not just for anybody. It's for everybody. It's for everybody that wants to live for God. Everybody that wants to know about things of God. It is set in place for them. And it's for us. So Lord, help us. He said, but be mindful always of his covenant. Be mindful always. Listen, this is a valuable book. One of my daughters one time, I have my little 26 translation. Don't use as much as I did years ago, but I carry it with me anyway. We were sitting in the Tulsa chapel in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and sitting there, and it was just her and I. I don't know where the other two were at, but they weren't there. Maybe somebody was sick and they stayed home. But we were sitting there, and I don't remember if it was CA or if it was LBJ, but I had one of them with me. And she got that translation, and she was just being rough with it. I said, Donna, or Cynthia, whichever. I said, don't do that. I said, that's a valuable little book. Well, she would just thought, you know, I can flip pages and do all this. But I didn't mind her flipping pages, but the way she was doing it. I have high respect for this word. Our mindset should be high, 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 high respect for this. Because it was sent to you and I. This word has gotten more people help than any other book ever written. All of them combined. I said one time in a meeting that you can't read Reader's Digest. I didn't know I said it. I didn't know it for a good while. I was in somebody's house sometime later, and word had got out of this meeting that I'd said that, and I didn't remember saying it. I think they misinterpreted what I said, but anyway. So I went to go into the library, and they said, there's a Reader's Digest in there, and you'll see it. They were scared. I wouldn't have condemned anybody. I've read the Reader's Digest myself. But the bottom line is, this is the book we're most interested in. This is the one that will help us. This is the one that will get us to heaven. This is the one that there's going to be times when we're down on our knees praying and crying, Lord, help me, encourage me, lead me, guide me, direct me. I'm going to tell you, this is the book he's going to use to do it. It's not Reader's Digest. It's not all these other books. It's the Word of God, because he wrote it for you and I to help us to do what he wants us to do. Have high admiration. Be mindful always of his covenant. Look at it, watch it, read it, study it, know it, memorize it. I'm going to tell you young ones something. You better start now, or I hope you already have, because it ain't going to be as easy when you get older. It's not quite as easy to memorize. I can still memorize things, but not as good as I used to. And I've got scriptures I preached out of and I've quoted for years. And I'm thankful that I learned them way back when. But he said here, and another thing, children and parents, teach your children. Give them this and let them understand. Teach it to them. Help them to know this is a valuable book. The scripture says over there, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he not depart from it. I feel part of that is this. When you put something in a child's mind, so to speak, and in their, hopefully down in their heart as much as it can be, that's something that God can use for years and years. And they can get out and get away from God, and they can go their sinful ways and do what they want to do, but God's got something. Come unto me. Come unto me. All ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And he can take those scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is so much that we can teach them and help them to memorize. I enjoy listening to the children and to the young people quote the scriptures and so forth. Get them down, every one you can. Get them down where that you know them, front, back, and sideways, because the Lord can help you. And as you teach your children and work with your children, he can take that way down the road. And he can talk to them with it. It said here to, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, but a generation that's not in set their heart aright, and their spirit was not steadfast with God. But up in here it said that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Children, children, children. Passed it on down. They had to do that so much then, because they didn't have what we've got today. But Lord, help us to get their Bibles to them. Help them to read them. Help them to understand it. Encourage them to read them. Be mindful. All right, let's go to Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Hebrews, the 8th chapter, 6th verse. But now, hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind, and I'll write them upon their hearts. And I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, a new covenant he hath made, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So he's saying here, I'm going to write them. I'm going to write their law, put my laws into their mind, and write them in their heart. And I'll be to them a God. In other words, this is going to be a different relationship than they had in the old time. This is going to be a personal relationship. It's going to be a relationship where you're not taking sacrifices. The sacrifice has already been made, and that sacrifice is willing to do anything he can do. I've made the statement numbers of times that he wants you to go to heaven worse than you do. And he's going to do everything he can do to get you there. He's going to work. He's going to call. He's going to encourage. He's going to strengthen. Listen, folks, none of us are perfect outside of the workings of the power of the Spirit of God. It takes him to help us. So, Lord, let him write all he wants to write. Let him do all he wants to do. All we need to be is like a little hungry bird with our mouths open. Let him just feed us. And let him just bless us in the heart. That spirit in there. That's what makes the church of God. That's what makes unity. Is our spirit bearing witness with other spirits and the unity and so forth. You can feel it. And then there's the wrong spirit and you can feel that too. So Lord, help us today to have it. I'll put my laws into their mind. Oh, let him just teach us and work with us. Now, I've heard ministers say that when the Lord was beginning to call them and work with them, they done extra studying that they might know the doctrines, unity, salvation, sanctification, the church of God, all these things that they would study. They'd spend hours. I did it myself. I would go up and hide in my home that didn't even have any electricity in it. And I'd stay there for hours during the day studying and praying and fasting and looking. And Lord, what about this? I'd memorize and study and I'd fast. I wanted him to just get everything he could in there. You need to be the same way. Well, I ain't no preacher. You might be. I ain't no missionary. You might be. I'm not no teacher. You might be. And I'm not making no prophetic of the callings of anybody in this room. But the bottom line is we want, every one of us need to allow him to do everything with the laws of God, to put them, to establish them, to set them, to help them, help us to know them better. And then you can preach all these words, you can read all these scriptures, and you can find new light and new understanding in these. And when I say new light, I'm just talking about new inspiration. I won't put it that way. I don't want to get nothing started on me. New inspiration. A while back, I went to sit down in my recliner, and I was going to read some of the, I think, Proverbs. And as I literally sitting down, the scripture come to me. I lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I love those two scriptures. I've used them in sending get well cards and stuff to people for years. But the bottom line is, he got down and said, I lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. Those two words stuck out to me. They fired me up. And I don't know, I don't remember having any particular battle or anything, but my help. Listen, your help from him. Look to him. Let him teach you. He can inspire. He can take these scriptures. You can read them over and over and over and get new inspiration. There's not a Reader's Digest. There's not any book that's written besides this book that can get the inspiration out of it like the Bible. Because the one that wrote it and the one that died for it, bless your heart, those men right there, that man by the name of Jesus, he has got a way of inspiring and challenging his spirit and doing something nobody else can do. Praise God. That's what makes it interesting. The Psalms. Our songbook is probably the greatest songbook's ever been written. I love our songbook. One minister told me, I love them to death. I've watched them grow up. I've watched them be a mama. I've watched them be a just whatever. Heard them preach the first message, saw them get married right here in this chapel. Sister Angela Gillenbeck. And she said the Lord speaks to her a lot in songs. Now to me, he may use the word, but what is she? She's a woman that writes songs. She's a woman that's into singing. And I can see that. The Lord can use the songs. He can use the word and allow him to establish them, to settle them, to get them written on the tables of our hearts, so to speak, whereby they're there. And maybe we don't have our Bible and somebody challenges us and you can give them a scripture just like that. Brother Michael Williamson, when he was working, he was in one trailer, truck, whatever, and they were unloading, whatever. And there was two other men next door and they were talking about the Bible. And they was talking about, as the way I would put it, sin, you must sin, you can't help it. And so, one of them said, well, we ought to go talk to the preacher next door to us. And Brother Michael's standing there saying, well, I ought to go say something to them. Lord checked him. He let them come to him. And they talked to him a little bit, laid things out. And he said, well, thus saith the word of the Lord. The Bible said, go and sin no more. John, go and sin no more. Oh, today, he didn't preach him a long message. But listen, saints, we need to know these things. We need to have them written down where we can use them to be a blessing to other people. Go to Acts 17:10. Acts 17:10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed. Also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, and they departed. Now it said here in the 11th verse, it said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Search the scripture daily, whether these things were to be. All right, a commentator said this. Those were more noble than those in Thessalonica, were of a better race, extraction, or birth than those at Thessalonica. But the word refers more to their conduct as a proof of their better disposition than to their birth or to any particular lineal nobility. It was a maximum among the Jews that none was of a noble spirit who did not employ himself in the study of the law. So it appears that Bereans were a better educated and more polished people than those at Thessalonica. In consequence, it's far from persecuting. They heard the doctrine of the gospel attentively. They received the doctrine with readiness of mind, where the evidence of its truth appeared to them sufficiently convicting, and they had too much dignity of mind to refuse their assent, and too much ingenuity to conceal their apparition. They searched the scriptures of the Old Testament to see whether those things were so, to see whether the promises and the types corresponded with the elite fulfillment in the person, works, and sufferings of Jesus Christ. They continued in this work. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So, they were reaching out. Again, this goes along with what I've just been preaching. Reaching out and desiring, wanting to know more. A readiness for the Word of God. In South Carolina, at the same place I was talking about a while ago, where the sirens used to ring, they always had people coming by. I mean, you could go there in the middle of the day and they'd have somebody there. A couple, maybe two or three just different ones. So in the early stages, I don't know that it happened a lot later, but in the early stages, I would go down there also of an evening. And some of them got to watching what I was doing, and they would come down there, and they said, "We want a Bible study." I mean, out of the clear blue, they wanted to have a Bible study. I said, "All right, what do you want?" And we would study. And it touched me that they were watching and looking and desiring. Listen, folks, a readiness of mind is one that's wanting to be in meeting. A readiness of mind is wanting to know the truth. A readiness of mind is reaching out saying, "Lord, what do you want me to know, to understand? How much time?" All right, I'm going to put it out this way. Brother Ed Searle, when I was pastor here, back in the late 80s and early 90s, Brother Ed Searle got up one night, and this is what he said. He said, "We teach..." Let's see, how did he put it? All right, he said, "We teach to give 10% in money." Well, no, we don't teach it, but they teach it out there to give 10% into their, you know, their coffers. He said, "I want to challenge us tonight to give 10% of our time to God every day." I thought about what he was saying. I thought, "Woo, you're challenging now, bud." 10%, that'd be basically 2.5 hours a day. Reading, studying, encouraging people, maybe writing, sending cards. I send a lot of cards. I send sympathy, get well, stuff like that. I send some thank you notes too. But basically is get well and sympathy. It takes time. But listen, folks, we can't help people if we don't take some time to do it. And it takes time. He said 2.5 hours reading, studying. How much time do we take to study? How much time do we pray? Molly and I have a Bible study basically every night. And I don't know, we spend up probably an hour, just the two of us, reading and praying and studying and so forth. Sometimes I get a call right in the middle of the Bible study, but somebody's needing prayer. So we stop, we'll pray for them, take care of that, and then we'll go on again. The Lord is interested. He saved us, He sanctifies, and He wants us to be all ready to be close to Him. Interested. When a couple falls in love with each other, they want to be together. They're not interested in anybody else. They've done dropped all them. They want that particular lady and that particular gentleman, and they want them, and they want to spend time together and do things and go places and so forth. And then if things go on, they get married. And again, they want to go places. They want to do things. I made a mistake in my first marriage, and that is I did a lot of traveling back there. Rebecca and I covered thousands of miles. But there is something that I didn't do, and after I lost her, I regretted it over and over. And that was, there are things that I saw in my lifetime that I wanted to show her, and I never showed her. Yellowstone Park, Grand Canyon, and Mount Rushmore. Those to me, and Brother Vernon brought up something I hadn't thought about, the Niagara Falls. I hadn't thought about that, and we were at Niagara Falls. But I didn't get them to the other place. Listen, folks, today, don't live to regret something, if you can do it. Brother Sammons told me, Sister Verna had died, and we were there, and the four of us, and at his house, and he was talking about it, and I know what he said. He said, "Carl," he said, "take time for your wife. Take time for your children." He said, "When they're gone, they're gone. You all that's young and in love and got children, you don't understand what I'm saying, but the pain is more than you can almost comprehend. It's horrible. The loneliness is horrible. And I look back now at what the old general told me, and I thought, yeah, Brother Martin, I didn't do it. I didn't take her here, and I didn't take her there. I've taken that lady over there to two out of three of them already, and I'd have taken her to the third one, but they had part of it shut down because of COVID, so I didn't think that was wise at that time. So I'm trying to make up with Molly what I didn't do with my first one. We need a readiness. We want to spend time together. We want to love one another. We want to do things. But we want to love the Lord, and we want to do things for Him too. Oh, Lord, help us have a readiness. Ready to go, ready to stay, ready to do, a ready mind. All right, let's go to Lamentations. Let's wrap it up here. Lamentations here, and about the... Third chapter of Lamentations 21, 3 and 21. Again, if I get in the right book, it'll read right. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because of compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good for a man. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. So he's saying here, it is of the Lord's mercies. The Lord's mercies. Now then, I want Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and 1. Isaiah 26 and 1 here. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation may, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Now then, he said, it is the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Now then, he's saying over here in Isaiah, and I love this reading right here, and I've read it a lot through the years. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Our minds sometimes get to going here and there. I'm not talking about anything bad, but the devil will work with your mind too. He will show you things. When I was fixing to go full time in 1980, I was working on a job one night, scrubbing floors, waxing and buffing and so forth, and working, and the devil come along and he started working with me. And he showed me a tunnel. And in that tunnel, it was dark. And he let me know, he said, you're fixing to stop all employment, and you're going to go out by faith, and you're going to have problems. Well, I listened to that a little bit, and I thought about it. He had my mind, see, wandering off. God had told me, he said, I want you to go full time. Well, I struggled with that a little bit, and the Lord come along. And he said, once I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. I thought, that sounds good. That's me, a wife, and children. He's going to take care of all of us. That settled it right there. But again, the devil will get your mind to wandering. He'll get it off going here and there. He can discourage you. He can paint dark pictures. He can do all kinds of things. But it said here, it said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, on the Lord, because he trusteth in thee. It means a lot to keep our mind centered in battles, in trials and tribulation, when our mind is wanting to wander and the devil's just hitting us with everything he can, trying to discourage us and depress us or whatever. And I've been through some of that. I've dealt with depression, or being depressed. Well, I've dealt with depression too. And these things. But when you can get it centered on Christ and get it on his word and center in on it. Listen, folks, he's the light. He's that lighthouse, and he can shine a beam. Like I said, it wasn't very many minutes till he gave me that scripture, and that settled the whole thing. Well, in the fall, the devil come along and done it again. I'd been out running all summer. I was away from home 3 months almost solid. Didn't even go back home. Come home for a little bit. Brother Egbert and I hooked up together, and we're out running. South Carolina again, in a revival meeting out there. Brother Egbert and I was in a little cabin there, and everything's going well, and the devil comes along and attacks me again. He said, you ain't going to have enough money to get home. I don't know just all he said. But in other words, he's just putting doubts and so forth. I got up. I said, I got to go pray. He said, all right. So I went to the chapel. While I was in the chapel praying, and the Lord was helping me there, the Lord showed Brother Egbert what my problem was while he was praying in the cabin. And I come back. He said, the Lord tell you this? And I don't think it was exactly the same thing, but he helped me again get our mind stayed on him. That will help derail the enemy over and over if we can get our mind stayed on the Lord. The Lord done that. The Lord, the devil come around. He didn't mess around with the devil. What did he do? He pointed him back to what? Scripture. Yeah. He pointed him to scripture. He said, thus saith the word. Thus says scripture, however he said it. But he pointed him back to that. Listen, we can't just, well, we can tell the devil all kind of thing. But he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil cannot handle the scripture, for the scripture's got the power of God. The power of God is powerful enough to do anything with the devil he needs to do. All we got to do is use it. Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us this afternoon to keep our minds stayed. All right, let's close. 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. One scripture here. 1 Corinthians 2 and 16. We'll be through. Said, for who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Lord, help us to have the mind of Christ this afternoon. To desire, have a ready mind, have a willing mind that the Lord can work with and teach us. I'm going to tell you, folks, we got the greatest teacher that's ever lived. And some are not as deep intellectual as others. But Christ can get anything to anybody at any time. He doesn't have any problem of feeding, enlightening, challenging, stirring, encouraging. Is all we got to do is reach out to him. I appreciate your time, attention, your prayers. Pray for me. I want to make that a mile.